and welcome to episode 9 of Culture Talks. We are Heather and Shyla, the regional managers of Crown's Global Skills Team. I'm Heather, I'm based in the UK, and I oversee programmes in the EMEA and the Americas regions.
Hello, I'm Shyla, I'm based in Hong Kong, and I oversee programmes in Asia Pacific.
Each episode of Culture Talks, we want to pull back the curtain of cultural training, bust some myths, and do this with our own stories and examples on different topics each episode. We want to showcase the impact and the scope of how culture talks in different ways.
So last episode, we looked at parenting when relocating and covered some of the aspects that you have to navigate when you're in a different culture. So this episode, we're back in the workplace and looking at how cultures approach solutions. So we want you, our audience, to walk away with a greater understanding of the journey to a solution and some of what actually happens along the way within different cultures. And also ask the question of how global companies navigate all of this.
Yeah, we're going big with our questions today. And because we like to share, you know, behind the scenes of how we prepare these podcasts, it was actually when we read, and we're going to get such brownie points for mentioning this, when we read the Crown 2024 Global Mobility Trends, there's some really interesting articles in there. And one in particular caught our eye on human centricity and how global mobility policies are changing to focus more on individual needs, that we really started to think about that ourselves. And it really resonated, because this idea that we're increasingly wanting more personalization, you know, we're increasingly wanting to be able to be flexible and to have things flex to our needs. And so by very definition, that will allow everyone to approach their own solutions in their own independent manner. And, you know, that's the challenge, right, that companies are needing to work through.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, the idea of need speaks to us, because we talk about avoiding a one size fits all the time, right? It's the cornerstone of what we talk about in this podcast and what we want to see in cultural training and cultural understanding, because it's not just individuals, but it's actually cultures too that approach solutions in such different ways.
Yeah, definitely. And here's where we got really excited in our, and you know, we did some research and we found some really great graphics that really helped us today, and we'll try and link to them in the footnote. Is it called footnotes? In the footnotes. I'm a professional podcaster. In the footnotes, there was, the first one was by Yang Liu, that really illustrates like the different approaches to problems that cultures come at it really beautifully. So it's footprints going through, like directly through a dot, the dot being the problem. The other aspect of the graphic is the footprints going around the dot, so working around the problem.
And there was the other one that really made us laugh, that funny graphic by Jerome Verdon about how different countries approach solutions using stereotypes, right?
And stereotyping, you know, it's really, you know, it's quite Marmite, isn't it? This stereotyping, they can be. But actually they can really, they bring humour, and it's a really quick and dirty way to communicate some truth, as long as the stereotype is designed not to hurt or harm.
Right. And then I thought it was quite funny, the British one, where, you know, the problem's there, and what do you do to get to the problem? You have a cup of tea to reach the solution, right?
I mean, that's just as natural, right? Another one that really made me laugh, because I've got family there, was the Swiss one. You have a problem, everyone votes on it, and then you get your answer. And there are quite a few other ones that we cannot mention on here, but it was very funny.
Right, yeah. And that's it, right? Humor is a really good tool, and it just connects us. And we've talked about this before, how we use humor as a global team.
We
can, you know, share it, have a giggle, as we always do. And having this knowledge can give us a better insight into what's going on with our colleagues. So for example, do people in your team look for a solution by themselves, or do they go to a group and brainstorm, or do they keep it into the, you know, within their inner circle, which is culturally more common in Asia, rather than going outside of that inner trusted group to, you know, seek professional help, or even like, you know, maybe people are more comfortable bringing in professionals or someone external, not just with support at work, but also help with mental health, you know.
Yeah, in terms it's of, interesting, isn't it? Yeah, when you yeah. break it down like that. You know, because also, like, are your colleagues even looking for solutions on ChatGPT and Google? Oh, there's so many different approaches there. And that's actually a whole other podcast that we're thinking about, isn't it? There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah, watch this space. So let's jump into different scenarios. Firstly, we're looking at the question, is the focus on understanding the root of the problem, you know, or working with it or around it and going into the solution?
And that's the Yang Liu graphic, right? The different footprints and the dots graphic. So different cultures approach the journey to a resolution in such different ways, and it can really create challenges. And we've had some trainings that we've delivered where we've really seen teams from different cultures who work together really coming up against this. So the first example were team members and sort of looking at the two different graphics, right? So on the graphic on the one side where the footprints go straight through, there was team members from the UK and Germany. And when a problem arose, they were really focused on the why and understanding the problem, because in that culture, they value accountability and ownership. So they were really asking questions like, why did this happen and who is accountable? But on the other side, they had their team members who were from India and the Philippines, where the focus was on, well, this was just human error. How can we create a solution going forward together? So the other graphic, working around the problem, because in that culture, there's a focus on collaboration and togetherness and working around the dot.
And listening to that, it's easy to see how challenging it can be to reach a solution.
Yeah.
So, you know, one solution could be, as we've discussed before, is actually just calling it out, you know, speaking with self-awareness about your cultural preference, you know, and using the humor and the awareness that we talked about before from those graphics.
Yeah.
You know, for example, I know I'm being really British here and wanting to work out what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. And that takes people learning it first, right? You need to have that learning and that awareness.
Yep. And we even see this in how people view cultural training. You know, trainers have to navigate when it comes to the culture of the participants and whether they want to be told the solution up front or, you know, actually just say, you know, what is the answer, or whether they want to understand the context to build their own solutions.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? Trainers have to really think about who's in the room and adapt their materials. You know, maybe there needs to be more tips, more signposting in trainings where the cultures want those aspects, those solutions, to ensure that the training is really meeting everyone's needs in a greater way. So another question about how cultures differ when it comes to reaching a solution is, how much information does everyone need to be able to reach that solution? So let's take the US and UK, for example. You know, the UK is quite a high context country. You know, we have a preference for wanting more background information and asking questions like, what have we done before? What are the facts? And we tend to generally have a lower acceptance of risk. So that's why we want that context, that background information, so that we can make more informed decisions. But then when you take a Brit working with the Americans, they might be quite alarmed by the US attitude to risk, because in the US, there's a value on speed and there's a far greater tolerance of risk. So if there is a problem that comes up, the team might suggest any number of solutions and then maybe run with all of them at once. And I'm hearing how British my attitude is by how horrified I sound. Because in the US, like, that attitude is really, well, if it fails, we'll just, you know, try something else.
And there's the expectation there's a lot of input in those examples you just shared. So what about when there isn't any input, like any information? So when silence is the information. So, you know, a great example of a Swiss headquartered company we worked with, you know, had teams in China, and there were a number of problems around deadlines. You know, there was discomfort about discussing changes to delivery timelines on the part of the Chinese colleagues. And we've talked about this before. Whenever we're under stress, we tend to retreat into our comfort zones. And in China, silence is really valued and powerful way to communicate. But, you know, so on the part of the Swiss, that silence was not really being read as information in itself, but rather a lack of information.
Yeah, absolutely. And how do you know when to, you know, like if it's not, if it doesn't come to you naturally, like when to read silence as information and when to not, it's really tricky to overcome. And the last question we're considering today when it comes to cultures and solutions is who needs to be involved in the solution?
So is it the whole team coming together or is it about creating your own solution? For me, you know, like I rank the problem, you know, I think how big is it? Do I need to go up the hierarchy? Is there an expert or someone who has done this before, a more experienced leader to make the decision? Or, you know, do I want to just talk this through with someone? That's my kind of like my Britishness. I'm looking for more information, like you said, where there's you know, there's a right answer and reducing my perception of a risk by getting others involved, right?
Yeah. And it's so interesting, isn't it? Because actually looking at it from this perspective, if you think back to episode 3, we got Jo, who's our manager. We brought her in and we called her the solution expert. So actually we were really demonstrating our Britishness and kind of involving hierarchy to be the expert in that.
And it's not just us. We see this with clients when they request a meeting, right?
Yeah, yeah, we definitely do. And I think let's take the example of a client meeting, for example. You know, when a client requests a meeting with us, I think it's just something that we start to do naturally because culture is quite forefront in our minds. We try to use culture to give us a clue as to what that client will expect from the meeting. So we'll try and look at who is in the meeting invite, you know, and who in the team's invite or who has actually asked us to join and try and find out a little bit about that. You know, we're looking maybe at like how many people are in that meeting to therefore start to create a bit of an understanding about what to expect. And then when you're going into the meeting, if I've done that cultural research, I can start to roughly guess how much discussion might actually be taking place or whether it's just going to be, you know, one or two people kind of speaking and leading it and everyone else listening, you know, because who is there can really help to understand, you know, is this meeting about gathering information or are we about to make a decision, you know, right away and reach that solution right away? It can also tell you how far away you are from reaching that potential solution because, you know, if a meeting attendees or if all of the meeting attendees are from a hierarchical and low risk culture, so a culture where, you know, they're looking to senior people to make more decisions, but they're also in a culture that they want to minimize risk rather than like throwing it up all in the air and seeing how it comes down. That first meeting is going to be much more likely to be information gathering than if it was a high risk tolerant culture where we might just like come out at the end of the meeting with a solution. Bish, bash, bosh. That in my podcast.
So often for me, when I'm meeting our clients here in Asia, you know, who I'm trying, I sort of like, I'm trying to build a long-term relationship with them. And it's also starting to sort of develop their trust in me and see what I'm doing, right? What I'm capable of.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's involved in client meetings is a real indication. And like, you know, you can use culture a lot, but it's not just that, right? Because it's about the company and where the company is headquartered, because that can also really help with those cultural clues about how in that company solutions are reached, because that's the wider question for global companies. Does where it's headquartered influence the corporate values and those rules about how that company reaches a solution? You know, all that will be determined by how the company is structured, whether it's regional and so therefore local cultural norms like reign, or is everything cascaded from a centralized headquarters?
So this comes back to this really interesting dilemma for companies. As we said at the start, there's this pretty wide trend for people wanting less one size fits all and more focus on individual needs and the solutions that work best for them. But how does a global company add all of this up when they need teams to be creating solutions that do in some way fit all, or at least involve lots of people coming at the solution in their different ways?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big one. I have this idea of a beach ball in my head, and, you know, you can only see your side of the ball. But when you're working with other people in a global company who are looking at the different side of the ball, you have to recognize that you're looking at a different side. You know, maybe you're looking at the green bit, someone else is looking at the blue bit. And that can be really hard to articulate what's different until you unpack it. And that's where you can get stuck there. But if you really can unpack it, you can get a much wider perspective and probably a more rounded solution.
Oh, I like that imagery. So what you're describing is basically why people come to us for cultural training, right?
Oh my goodness, is cultural training the answer?
Yeah, especially for people who are working multiculturally. Definitely. You know, and maybe who are not located together in the same place. So it's harder to understand your colleagues' needs and why they need to approach things in a different way to you.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, the more information people have, the easier they can understand it. So that brings us to the end of our podcast today. You know, we've looked at the journey to solutions within different cultures and some of what happens along the way. We've discussed the trend for a human focus, that human-centric approach, and focusing on people's needs. And if you are interested in needs, definitely look up nonviolent communication, or NVC, if you are interested in it. It's a broader approach to communication that really puts people's needs first. And Shyla and I just like love it, don't we? We think it's such a good idea.
Yeah.
And we want to leave you as ever with a question. So how do you approach solutions? You know, do you want to find out the problem and fix that and what happened, or do you want to accept it and then think about what can be done next? You know, when you're faced with a problem, who do you want to be involved in that solution? Who do you go to, or do you just work it out yourself? How much information do you need to be able to create a solution? So as ever, thank you so much for listening, and Shyla, it's always a joy. Join us next time for episode 10 of Culture Talks.